Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
We ought to obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Welcome to our study of the book of Acts. Here we're going to see the gospel and its continuing spread throughout the areas in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and eventually to the uttermost parts of the world. The book of Acts tells us about the actions of the church, actions of first century Christians, how they were spreading the gospel and the effects that it had on the lost world. In Acts chapter 1 through 4, we saw the establishment of the church, and the first gospel sermon was preached. Peter told them they need to change their lives and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Then in Acts chapter 3, a wonderful miracle happens. Peter and John calls a man who's been lame from his mother's womb to walk up and rise and leap. And that man creates a great stir. As a result, they are questioned by the apostle or the high priest and the Pharisees. They want to know, by what power, by what authority have you done these things? They respond by saying, it's only in the name of Jesus, whom you left out. He's the only one who can provide salvation. They realize they've been with Jesus. It creates a great stir. There's persecution that is coming. And now in Acts chapter 5, we pick up with that same theme. But before we get right into the persecution, there is one thing that happens that creates a great stir, causes great fear to fall upon first century Christians. In Acts chapter 5, we are introduced in verses 1 through 11 to a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, who will eternally be known as the two who tried to trick God, the two who tried to lie to His apostles. Ananias had sold some land, and he brought the proceeds to lay at the apostles' feet. But there was only one problem. Ananias and his wife seemed to have a little bit of greed. They wanted to lie to God and keep back some of the money. And so they brought the money, suggesting that this was all they received. They laid it at their feet, and in the first few verses, Ananias drops dead on the spot. Peter said to him, was it not yours while you had it? Could you not have kept some back? Why did you try to lie to the Holy Spirit? And so he drops dead on the spot. Men carry him out. He's a dead man. 3 hours later, his wife walks in, Sapphira. And Peter gives her a chance, it seems like. Did you sell this for this amount of money? Oh, yes, we sold it for this amount of money. He says, why did you two agree to lie to the Holy Spirit? Did you think you could trick God? He said, the same men who carried your husband out and buried him are waiting for you at the door. She dropped dead on the spot, just like that. It brought great fear, the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, it brought great fear upon the church. But you know what? It wasn't a bad kind of fear. It was a good kind of fear, because people were having a godly fear that caused them to do right. They saw that example. They saw what had happened, and they went out and fulfilled the Lord's will. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, they were going out and preaching to the people all the words of this life. They're put in prison again for doing that. The high priest, the Pharisees, they don't like that. And so they put them in prison, but the prison can't contain them. An angel opened the doors of the prison and tells them, you go speak all the words of this life. They're found out in the temple doing exactly that. And these men, these leaders, they catch them again and they say, look, I thought we told you not to speak about Christ, to fill your town with this doctrine. And here's what Peter says in our text, Acts chapter 5. And I want you to notice especially what is said in verse 29. The text records for us that Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Here we learn a powerful lesson that our first responsibility is to obey God. Now friends, we're not saying that we ought to disobey the laws of the land. If the laws of the land are in accord with the laws of God, then Romans 13 teaches that we're obligated to obey them. And whoever doesn't obey the ruler and the law of the land is actually in violation of the will of God. And so we're not teaching disobedience to the law of the land as long as that law is in accord with the higher law, the law of God. But friend, if the law of God is contradicted by the law of men, we must obey God rather than men. There are several areas in which this would be very practical. For example, when it comes to abortion, abortion has been legalized in our country. But you know what? God still values the innocent. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 says that it is a very wicked thing to take and shed innocent blood. God wants children to survive and to thrive and to live, not to be put to death inside the womb. That was never God's command. But when our country says abortion is okay, Christians need to rise up and say, no, there's a higher law. We ought to obey God rather than men. When it comes to things like gambling or alcohol use, Although our land may legalize and allow those things, the Scriptures don't support that. Alcohol consumption is condemned in the Bible. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunken with wine, wherein is dissipation. Gambling in the Bible is never looked at in a good light. It's not a way to make money. Those things may be legal, but they're not godly. And God's law must reign over human law. Another important example that is very pertinent to our times today. Homosexuality, some are wanting that to be legalized. Is that right? Is it godly? Let's say that America legalizes homosexual unions. Should we go along with the tide? Should we say, well, since the country has accepted it, it's okay? No, we say, yes, there's the law of the land, but there's a higher law. There's the law of God that we must obey rather than men. Romans 1, verses 26 through 29 says that homosexuality is vile, it's unnatural, and it's ungodly. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says that homosexual people, along with idolaters, murderers, fornicators, will not go to heaven. And the Bible said in the long ago, in Leviticus 18:22, that you shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It is an abomination to God. And so if the law of land is in accord with the law of God, we obey it. We're obliged to. But where the two divide, we always obey God rather than men. Another powerful lesson that we see in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, is the example of the apostles' evangelism even in the face of persecution. They have spoken boldly. They've been in prison. They're now going to decide what they must do with these men. Gamaliel rises up and he says, you know, if this is from God, there's nothing we can do about it. They consent to what he says and they decide to beat them. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42 records that beating for us. They are beaten on behalf of Christ. They are joyful that they can do that. The Bible says, and they received that with joy. They were glad that they could suffer shame for the name of Jesus. And daily in the temple, and from house to house, they cease not preaching Jesus as the Christ. These men had just had stripes laid on their back. They had just suffered greatly for the cause of Christ, yet they did not let that stop them from spreading the message. In fact, it seemed to inspire them. They were glad to suffer as Jesus had. It was a joy to take part in His suffering for the greatest cause ever. That's the way we ought to think today, that if I suffer for Christ, in view of all that He's done for me, it ought to be a joy to suffer in the small way that I do today. And we ought today to want to spread the message even under dire circumstances. I think of the example of the first century church. They preached the Word. 3,000 obeyed the Gospel. They continued preaching the Word. 5,000 more. A little later in the book, multitudes obeyed the Gospel. The church grew and flourished. Acts 8 verse 4 tells us those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word. And people were obeying the Gospel. Under dire circumstances, they did what they had to, and the church flourished. Under comfortable circumstances, when we often don't do what we ought to, the church seems to not be flourishing, but going in the other direction. Maybe if we had a little more encouragement, a little more persecution, a wake-up call to what is really important in this life, it would help us to see that evangelism ought to be our main goal. Colossians 1:24, Paul said, Jesus we preach, Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We've been called into the marvelous light to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And so like the apostles, we need that zeal, that unstoppable zeal for spreading the message of Jesus Christ. Now, as we turn our attention to Acts chapter 6, we're going to see the church in action in a benevolent way. Acts chapter 6, there are certain Greek-speaking Jews, Hellenists, who are being neglected in the daily distribution. These people are members of the church, but they're not being provided for. And so as a result, seven men are chosen to help these people in their need, their physical need. And no doubt that physical need led to a greater spiritual need. Again, spreading the gospel and preparing people to do the work of God. But they're chosen here. And as a result, some are able to go out and do more spiritual work. Now, I want you to notice especially one of the great statements in Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Look at what the text says here. Then, after they made the selection, after they've taken care of the physical matters, some are devoting themselves to spreading the message, then the Word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And listen to this. And a great many of the priest were obedient to the faith. And that is one of the most powerful statements about Jesus, the New Testament, the plan of salvation. These priests had been at the altar. They had been sacrificing animals. They had been attending to the people and their needs. They're the one who probably knew the law and read the prophecies. We're looking for the Messiah. And they hear the gospel, it's preached. And many of the priests are obedient to what? To the faith. The faith, it's a system of faith that's based on faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The faith system is that gospel system. Jude verse 3, we're to contend earnestly for the faith. And so here are priests, and they are obedient to the gospel. What power the preaching of the gospel had in the first century. But in Acts chapter 6, we're also introduced to one of the greatest men in the first century church, Stephen, the first martyr. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen, it tells us, is a man of great faith, who was full of the Holy Spirit. They could not resist the words by which he spoke. His face, as though it were, shone like an angel's when he spoke. Here's a man of great faith, great power, who valiantly proclaimed the message of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need more men like Stephen today. More men of great faith. Romans 10:17 teaches how we get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We learn that faith is not some leap into the dark. Rather, it's based on evidence and it's based on substance. Hebrews 11, verse 1. We need more like Paul, who will say in Acts 27, 5, "Take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as He has told me." And friends, we need more men today like Stephen, who even when you know people are not going to like it, out of love, you preach the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says that we are to speak as the oracles of God. Whatever God says, that's what we say. We are to preach the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And even when people don't like it, we need to remember that Galatians 4:16 says we don't become someone's enemy by teaching the truth. And so like Paul, Acts 27:25, we need to say, "Take heart, men. I believe God that it will be just as He has told me." Now, Stephen has a very interesting sermon in Acts chapter 7. He is going to preach to the Jews, and he is going to say to these people, he's going to have basically four main points to his sermon. His sermon is going to be an overview, kind of the Old Testament scheme of redemption, the Old Testament plan working up to Christ. It begins with Abraham and the promises that were made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Get out of your country, out of your land, go to a new place where I'll tell you, I'll bless you and I'll make you a great nation. Abraham did that. He followed God. His sons did that. Isaac continued that following all the way up to the time of Joseph. He mentions the great man Joseph. Joseph was chosen providentially by God to be used for His purposes. He was thrown in a pit, left for dead. His brothers tried to kill him. Rose up out of the pit, taken to Egypt. And in Egypt, he is there. And eventually, he becomes second in command to Pharaoh himself. And he shows what great providence God had in taking care of Joseph. He mentions men like Moses, a man who at first began to make excuses, but a man who ultimately was a judge and a leader of God's people. He saw the miracles at the hand of Moses, Pharaoh did. Moses led people through the Red Sea, took them through the wilderness wandering, took care of God's people all the way up to the Promised Land. Are you a New Testament Christian? If not, we want to encourage you today to listen to the Word of God, to believe that Jesus is God's Son, to repent, confess His name, and be baptized in water so that you can conform your will to the gospel of Christ.